Booze Hound Entertainment proudly presents Under the Influence. This show contains language and topics not suitable for kids, whiny little bitches, or prudes. You've been warned.
So you know on Monday when people ask, hey, what'd you guys do over the weekend? And you never say the dirty stuff. You never say, hey, we turned our basement into a sex dungeon, or we made a sex fort and I played air guitar on a clit. No, no, you lie and you say, we just hung out with some friends.
From the Speakeasy Studio, this is Under the Influence with Phil Foyer.
Hey, hey, welcome. Welcome to the first ever Under the Influence show. My name is Phil Boyer, but you probably guessed that already, huh? But anyway, I'm so happy you're here to share an adult beverage with me on this very, very monumentous occasion. Skol. And speaking of monumental occasions, who got laid today, huh? Yeah, you know, they don't want you doing that, especially if you're not married. No, that's bad. Sex before marriage? Are you trying to go straight to hell? See, if they make us feel like we're these demented perverts for liking sex, and I think that we can all agree that sex is one of the finest things on earth, then they essentially control our pleasure. And if they control our pleasure, well, they control us. I mean, it's so bad that anything that even remotely relates to sex, including nudity, is bad. I mean, take TV. You guys remember the first time they put a naked ass on TV? You'd think the fucking world was gonna end. And then there's that famous wardrobe malfunction at the Super Bowl. Yeah, we all saw Janet Jackson's nipple, and we're all still okay. We're all fine. None of us turned to dust or anything. No, we're all still here, and the kids are all still going out and playing every day. Everything is fine. But you know, the one thing that I can't wrap my fucking head around is the logic that it's perfectly okay to show someone's head being blown off. But somehow, nipples are the evilest of all evils. What kind of fucking sense does that make? I don't get it. And I feel bad for all these new moms who get shit for breastfeeding their babies. I mean, Jesus fucking Christ, it's a tit. It's a tit. Get over it. I mean, I love boobs just as much as the next guy. Believe me. But if seeing a bare tit in public while a mom breastfeeds her kid, if that makes you uncomfortable, well, you know what? That says more about you than it does about the mom. You really got to have some serious issues right there, because breastfeeding is not sexual at all. Not in the least. I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't get it. It just doesn't make sense. But what I find interesting, that even with all these prudes out there, a book like 50 Shades of Grey would be this huge, ginormous hit. I mean, who would have thought that this book, which is about a virgin getting into bondage, would be so popular with the ladies? Who would have thought? I know I didn't. But how many marriages were saved, or ruined, for that matter, by this book? I mean, it's tough. It's tough, and it's not easy keeping a relationship going. I mean, I've been married to the same amazing woman for close to 30 years. I mean, she's got to be amazing if she's, you know, stuck around with me for 30 years, right? But, you know, like all marriages, we've gone through a hell of a lot in those years, but through it all, we've stayed together, we've kept it going. And when people hear about this, they ask me, hey, what's the secret to staying together and in love for so long? And I think to myself, well, you know, I could say the usuals, trust, understanding, listening. But this is when my dark side likes to come out and play. I look them dead in the eye and I take a step closer as if I'm about to tell them the biggest classified secret in the world. I look around and I look back at them and I say, sex every single day. I'm telling you, sex every single day. They look a little surprised, but they shake their head like, yeah, you know, okay, I get it. That makes sense. That makes sense. But I don't stop there. I don't stop there. I say, you got to do all those things those divorced people refuse to do. Anal sex, get tied up, threesomes, foursomes, set up gangbangs, find strangers on Craigslist. And this is about the time when their eyes become as big as saucers. They take a step back, and the look on their face is all, I don't know about all this. I don't know about this. You know, and I could end it there and just say, oh, just kidding. But no, no. I take it even further. I say, hey, last weekend we hosted the swingers party at our house in our sex dungeon. Oh, did I tell you we converted our basement into a sex dungeon? Oh, yeah, you gotta have one of these. They are so much fun. At this point, their mouth is open and the disbelief is written all over their face. The look of horror is classic. I mean, it's all I could do to not start laughing because I know they're thinking, man, I had no idea this guy was such a perv. But after a few awkward seconds of just letting it hang there, looking them dead in the eye, I say, hey, I got to get going, but we should really get together. What are you guys doing this weekend? We're having a party and you guys should come. But, you know, you do have to keep things interesting in the bedroom and out. I mean, that's really the secret to keeping a relationship going. And we all get into ruts. You know, the routine of life can get in the way of getting creative. I mean, there's only so many positions the average couple can do. I mean, let's face it, we're not all porn stars with 14-inch dicks that can fuck our significant other from the next room. And after 30 years of marriage and bumping uglies, you know, you want to try some new things, you know? I mean, that usually starts with a trip to Victoria's Secret, but after a while, even that starts to get old. So you look for other ways to keep things fresh. You try using the swings at the park as a sex swing, you know, a little innocent flashing, sex on the beach a couple times a week. Maybe even a little role-playing if you're that adventurous. I mean, that stuff definitely gets the blood flowing to all the right places, but, you know, sometimes you just want to take your time and break out the sex toys and role-play some fantasies. And this brings me to some of the things we kinky fucks do in bed. Now, not the acts themselves per se, but how some of these things came to be. You know, who was the first person to not only think of these things, but to actually convince someone else to try them? You know, let's take oral sex, for example. I mean, it's a normal thing these days. We don't even think about it anymore. It's just part of foreplay. You just do it. It's part of the thing, right? But at some point, it wasn't. I mean, do you think some woman thought, hey, I haven't come in 20 years, but maybe if he used his tongue down there, I would. Or maybe some guy was going to town and all of a sudden he thinks, you know, this pussy is great and all, but what if I put it in her mouth? And it's one thing to think it. It's one thing to have that image pop into your head. But then it's something completely different to have the guts to say to your partner, hey, I've got an idea. How about I sit on your face? And then there's butt stuff. I mean, was the first time an accident? Some guy sliding into the puckered starfish and hit the A spot and the rest is history? And what is the timeline of that history? You know, how long was it before someone thought, hey, anal sex is good, oral sex is good. What if we combined the two and called it rimming? Yeah, you fucking perverse thought I was going to say ass to mouth, didn't you? You did. I know you did. I know you thought that. But does anybody actually do that? Or is that just a thing that's only done in porn? I mean, do any of you actually do this? Oh, wow. Okay, well, you guys are all invited to the after party. But yeah, you know, butt stuff is so common these days. I mean, you see girls getting their ass eaten on TV shows, characters talking about doing butt stuff, and even storylines about couples trying anal for the first time. I mean, it's crazy. And speaking of butt stuff, at some point someone thought penetration and rimming wasn't quite enough and thought, hey, what if we created things to stick up our ass? I mean, We have this whole segment of the sex toy industry specifically for the ass. Anal beads, anal vibrators, anal dildos, butt plugs. There's even special lubricant just for butt play. Just for butt play. And who the fuck thinks of all these different toys? I mean, there are literally hundreds of different kinds of sex toys. Is there a team sitting around somewhere, around a big table, brainstorming the next big thing to get you off? No pun intended, of course. I mean, what kind of degree do you need to get a job designing sex toys? And what about quality control in all these sex toys? I mean, is there a focus group that tests these things to make sure they're safe and, well, let's be honest, effective? Is this an actual 9-to-5 job you get? I mean, how would that work? You show up for work, and your boss, the chief masturbation officer, he hands you a box and says, hey, I need reports on these by the end of the day. And are you allowed to take your favorites home? That's a big question. I think you got to put that in your contract, I would think, if that's your gig, right? And toys are one thing. But how about all these different sex positions? The corkscrew, pretzel dip, flat iron, which is more commonly known as the prone bone, the wheelbarrow, magic mountain, butter churner. I mean, there's thousands of them. And who came up with all of these? I mean, for most of us, if we're going to go beyond missionary, we usually stick to cowgirl or doggy, maybe even a little bit of reverse cowgirl. But somewhere right now, a couple is doing the pinball wizard. I'm all for spicing things up with something different. But some of these positions, they look downright awkward and uncomfortable. I mean, who the fuck thought it would be fun for the guy to bend his dick backward to enter the vagina? I mean, that's just asking for something really bad to happen. No, thank you. Thank you, but no, I prefer my dick not to snap off during sex. Ah, damn it. I'm empty. I gotta go get a refill.
While Phil is getting his whiskey or whatever it is he's pouring for himself tonight, I'll take a second to tell you about the Under the Influence website. This is a place you will want to go buy your official merch, support the show, and well, let's be honest, who knows what he'll be putting on there. And here's where to go. TheUnderTheInfluenceShow.com. TheUnderTheInfluenceShow.com. Oh, okay, well, he's returned now with his glass completely refilled, so, you know, back to the show.
So, do you guys remember sitting through sex ed? Oh, God, that shit's the worst, isn't it? I mean, I still remember some of the questions, which, in hindsight, seem pretty fucking stupid, but as a 12-year-old, they're actually pretty legitimate. I mean, our only experience with a hard-on is morning wood so we don't piss the bed. So a question like, what happens if we pee in the girl isn't too far off, right? I mean, come on. My favorite, though, is I remember this like it was yesterday. This kid raises his hands and he says, hey, what if it gets stuck? And the teacher, who, by the way, was the girl's PE teacher, with, I don't know how she managed it, but with a straight face, she responds with, oh, don't worry, it won't get stuck. To which the kid responds with, Okay, but what if it does? You know, they give us these drawings of what a vagina looks like, what a penis looks like, how the act is performed, and the consequences, of course, of that said act. But the problem is, these drawings really don't show shit. I mean, us guys are like, okay, the penis goes into the vagina, no shit, but where is that again? And the clit is what again? I mean, I don't even know. Do they even teach you about the clit? I don't even remember learning about that. So I'm not really surprised that according to Pornhub, the things that guys search for the most is lesbian, while women say the thing guys search for the most is the G-spot. I mean, some say the G-spot is one of the great wonders of the world, but I say the whole vagina experience is the wonder of the world. No, I'm not kidding. It's fucking beautiful. It's all warm, it's wet, and it's nice. It's like a slip and slide for your penis. The problem is that there's some complicated shit going on down there. And you ladies, talking to you ladies right now, you guys don't really help us guys find our way around. I mean, it would really help us if we had one of those star maps to find all the good spots. You know what I'm saying? So, you know why guys suck the first time they have sex? It's because for years, all we had were pictures. When I grew up, we didn't have the internet. These days, you hop on Pornhub, and there's no fucking doubt where slot B is and where the clit is and what it looks like and all that stuff. And I know I sound old when I say this, but back in my day, we had to rely on getting our hands on a Playboy. And those pictures, if we're being honest, they don't show you where anything is, let alone how to find the G-spot. I mean, the ladies back then, they weren't shaved like they are today. And with all that pubic hair, it was like trying to see through a blindfold in the fog. So basically, for the first time, we have to become Indiana Jones in the Temple of Poon. So here we are. All right, here we are. It's dark. And we have to pretend like we're the all-knowing sex god, because that's what's expected of us, right? Our hands are roaming around. You think it's foreplay, but we're just trying to find something we recognize from the Playboy pictures, okay? So, when the first pass doesn't reveal anything familiar, we go back up to the tits and we tune the radio while we build up the courage to go for another mission. Fast forward a few minutes and we finally find the clit and things start to heat up. Our finger slides down and into the most magical thing we've ever felt. Finally, after all this time, we get to third base. The thing that we wanted more than anything since girls stopped being icky is finally about to happen. Tab A is finally going to go into slot B. Unfortunately, all those solo missions never prepared us for what happens next. Nope, not at all. Not in the least. So we roll on top and we start poking around trying to find the hole. We stick it where we think our finger just was, but it's not there. We pretend it's just a little more foreplay. We rub our penis on your clit, but really, we're just trying to figure out where the fucking entrance is, right? Then, magically, somehow, the gods of tits and booze have mercy on us, and it finally goes in, and for the first time, we experience the wonder of the vagina for about 5 seconds. The good news is, after a few more tries, we get better, and with a little determination, we finally find the G-spot, and we feel like a sex god because we finally know our way around the pussy. That is, until we hear about the A spot. So many spots, so little time. That's it for me this week. Try the whiskey. It's awesome. And I'll see you fuckers next week when we head from the bedroom to church. Because after all that debauchery, we need to go find Jesus. Toodles.
Under the Influence is a Booze Hound Entertainment production. Follow or subscribe for free right now wherever you're listening to this podcast. And don't forget to follow @WeAreBoozeHound on Instagram and TikTok for teasers, behind the scenes, and other cool stuff. Get links to our other shows at WeAreBoozeHound.com.